You're listening to Short Track America.
USA, welcome to the house as we are enjoying a fun-filled, jam-packed night at the Snook River Grill. Tell you what, Wayne Jefferson needs to walk on down and have a seat because we got top of the hour, we got some other things going on, but we want to make sure you're here in the seat and ready to go.
Actually,
so we don't miss you.
No, actually, that's fine. We have some pretty big announcements coming up here in a little bit. But
sit on this side, one side of the other, guys.
In a few minutes, we're going to talk with Steve Dorr from Race Car Engineering with a pretty big announcement.
It's the second part of the hour, though. It's time to start talking about it.
You think?
Yeah.
What, the Ocala?
Ocala.
Not yet. No.
Come on.
See, Bill, here's the thing. One of the things that this young man, Dwayne Bryant, was up here talking about was advice he would give kids is patience. Now, have some patience, Bill.
I've had patience for 3.5 hours since you told me.
I know. That's why I didn't want to tell you. Remember, I told you. I'm not going to tell you. And then I told you, and now you've been bugging me.
Jeez. We got sitting at the microphone right now, Tyler Lau. Of course, sitting next to him is the Rocket Man. We'll get to him in a little bit. But, Tyler, you driving Pure Stocks out there at DeSoto. How you liking it?
Oh, it's fun. I look forward to it every Saturday while I'm sitting in school. I'm just trying to make it through the week for Saturday. I'm waiting to move up. That's what I'm waiting for.
Does move up.
Somebody holding a tight line on you? You got to keep the grades up and so forth to go racing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, both parents over there. They make sure I got A's and B's. Majority got to be A's.
They had a videotaping you over there now so they can critique your performance here, too, I see.
Yeah, that's my mom. That's what she does. Yeah. Videotapes all my races so I could go home and study them and see what I did wrong and hopefully not make them sick next week.
You're pretty good in the winner's circle, though. You know, the interviews have gotten better. Last year you were a little...
Yeah, I've been getting my practice in and finishing the top three a lot lately.
Yeah, this past weekend, man, you stuck it on the outside. I thought you was going to get it done, man.
I lost a cylinder, so... Yeah. I mean, I lost a cylinder, dropped 7 cylinders, so... And then I had to hold John off, so...
I want to go back to the video in real quick. Have you ever, something you've really seen in the videos that Mom made or any videos you bought that made you change the way you did things?
Oh, yeah, my line that I was running. If I was running on the outside of someone, seeing that I had extra feet that I could move down and maybe pick up another couple tenths in the lap and so I could get by them quicker and work on the next guy.
Cool. That's awesome. Always nice to have a video.
What are you looking at me for, Jack?
Yeah, I'm just looking at you because... You know,
Jack's got more information going on. You know, everything's going so fast over there.
Senility sets in.
Tyler, what are you going to move up to, man? What are you looking forward to?
Well, we have a fast truck, like, sitting in the garage, you know, we're working on it. Danny from Anderson Auto Repair is helping me out with that. Hopefully next year we can move up to that and travel the fast truck series. If not, maybe pro trucks at DeSoto. But that's what I'm looking forward to moving up to.
Traveling around a little bit.
Awesome. Do you kind of watch what the trucks are doing there at DeSoto and kind of see what's happening?
He's got a little seat time down there.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I have a fourth and a fifth and a couple of eighths out there. So I think I ran like 5 races in the trucks. So.
Good job.
He handles himself pretty good out there.
Not bad.
Where's that phone call, Jack?
Yeah, I was waiting. But anyway.
A couple of minutes.
A
couple more minutes.
You're sure it's on time?
Tyler, we have to be on time.
When did you start out in racing?
A couple of years ago. Threw me into Pure Stock.
Threw you into Pure Stock.
Yeah. I mean, I've been go-karts, like, in the backyard or, you know, on a dirt field or somewhere that we could find, but that was about it.
What was the conversation like, though, when you really sat down with Mom and Dad and said, listen, I'd really like to do this, you know, try
it? No,
No.
It was Dad that said, we're putting you in this car.
Oh, okay. So Dad bought a car and brought it home.
No. Was running Pure Stocks, and he just grabbed me one Thursday and dragged me out to the track and was like, you're driving the car, so...
And how old were you?
I was 14.
14?
Now, did the guys up top know, or did they think it was Dad in the car all night?
No, it was a Thursday night. It was practice night. So.
Okay.
When you climbed in the car, were you comfortable in it, or...?
I was fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, the go-karts, it's different. It's definitely different, but it's got 4 wheels on it, so it's the same thing.
Yeah, you got a body around you now, most of the time, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Had you driven the big portion of the track before that?
No, that was the first time.
What was it like to go over the hill and drive out there the first time?
Oh, yeah, it definitely gave me an adrenaline rush. It was pretty wild.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Hang on.
We're passing notes.
Yeah, I'm being told.
You want to share that with everybody?
I'll be back.
Yeah, dial the number.
Dial the number. Well, Tyler, it's great having you on the show, man. We'll get you on again when we can spend more time with you. Good luck, man. You know, I know that wind's coming, brother.
All right, thank you.
All right, Tyler Lau, ladies and gentlemen. And I see Ricky Bobby Baldwin's here. Why don't you come on up here, Ricky Bobby?
Ricky Bobby, woo!
Woo!
Yeah,
take
that's cool.
Take a
here. You got him?
You got him?
All right.
All right, we got a little bit of announcement here before we get to you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering in this corner.
He said it. Ladies and gentlemen.
Steve Dorr.
Yeah, if there's a guy, if there's anybody that sponsors, I mean, this guy is the sponsor in Florida racing. Anywhere you go, any racetrack you go in Florida, any just about any traveling series you take a look at, you see Race Car Engineering on it. Steve Dorr, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're going crazy.
We're having a blast.
We need what you got, a bigger building. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we just moved to a new location. We're on the same exit in Lakeland. You get off at exit 32 there on North 98. You go about 5 miles north on 98. We're on the west side of the road right next to the recreational pools warehouse. We had to move into a little bigger place, get out and grow the other one, and just trying to make it better for the customers that we have.
And you have a lot of customers in Florida race cars, don't you?
Yeah, we've acquired quite a few, and we do a lot of out-of-state stuff also. We've actually drummed up our business all the way around. Did a lot of asphalt market stuff with all divisions in racing, and here recently we're kind of stepping into the drag racing market and also the dirt market. I'm gearing up and kind of going after the dirt market a little bit heavier than what I was, and starting to stock and carry a lot of parts to sprint cars and dirt late models, modifieds, and mini stocks and sportsmen. Just trying to help them guys have a local parts place so they can get stuff at a reasonable price and get good service and collection.
So you have like a 17,000 square foot building now?
Yeah, that's what our new location is. We have it's got a 10,000 square foot warehouse and then a 7,000 square foot showroom, which is it's turned out really nice. All the guys that work for me put a lot of effort into it. A lot of time redesigning it and putting new racking and shelving and just trying to display the parts better and try to make the customers understand what different things do and what all the new and latest items are.
Steve, you know, this is Rick Angies. Everywhere around the state of Florida, you're helping somebody out. I mean, you see Race Car Engineering on at least one car at every racetrack. What's that like to help people?
Well, when I started out, I started years ago. I've raced with my dad and things my whole life, and I really didn't have anything with my own when I raced. And I kind of always felt like whenever you got any kind of sponsorship from anybody, whether it was $100 or $10,000, it was appreciated. When I got to a position where sponsoring other people was helping them, and it also helps me, you know, promote my business, it makes my business better, which and makes the customers better, because the more I can sell, the more I buy, and the better pricing I can give the customers. So it helps them, and it helps me also to go somewhere and be able to see your name on a bunch of cars and know that you're helping a lot of different racers out. It kind of makes you feel good. It feels like you give something back for all the customers that we have that spend their time and money buying stuff from us and give us the opportunity to service them.
Steve, you not only supported racers themselves, you supported series along the way. Tell us about your involvement with some of those series that have come and gone, even from with your help, but they all appreciate everything that you've done for them along the way.
There's been a few series that have called me and they didn't have sponsors, and I kind of stepped up a little bit and helped them. And whenever I've sponsored a series, I've always directed it directly to the racer. And this past weekend, I did a little bit of a sponsorship at the big race they had at East Bay, the 100-lap race, and I sponsored gift certificates for the sponsor, and they go directly to the racers. And I distribute them throughout the field. I don't put it right on top. I put it on the first place car, you know, and then I'll pick like the fourth and the seventh and the tenth and maybe a hard charger award where the money gets diversified through the field for the guys that didn't have such a good night, and then you also compliment the guy that had a good night, you know. So it just helps everybody, you know, all the way through the field, makes it where they have a little better opportunity to be able to afford to come back and race again, because without them, my business is kind of done.
Well, those racers appreciate that, and they all say so whenever they have the opportunity to talk about you and the business and everything being involved in it. How are things going when it comes to, I know you were one of the ones who kind of stepped into the internet sales and got a catalog going and so forth. How's that been working out for you?
our internet sales aren't quite as good as I'd like for them to be, but it's due to lack of effort on my part a little bit. When I took over race car engineering, they had an internet website going, and we've been really concentrating on stepping up the customers that call and walk in and trying to really service them and do the best that we can and build that business as strong as I could. And it's taken so much time that I haven't been able to the time needed into my internet sales. But here in the past 2 months, I've gotten on the and got a guy.
Ooh, we're having a little technical
problem.
That's
a phone. That's a phone thing. Steve, you still there?
No, we lost Steve.
We lost Steve.
Oh,
well,
oh,
we lost
bummer.
Steve.
That's why his internet sales aren't good.
We lost Steve.
His internet sales are not doing good because his phone's having problems.
We'll that number.
Shoot. I got the other one.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, pick up the mic.
Need that right away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hit it.
You guys,
Jack,
kill some time.
Sitting at the microphone table right now. We got to get a name for this table.
That's the hot seat, man.
The hot seat.
That's
there
the
you
hot
go,
seat, man. I'm telling you.
Pick up that microphone.
We're being nice
Jefferson.
Tonight because there's
Jefferson.
So many people here. Yeah. We're usually,
pick up that microphone.
Rick, we're not usually this nice.
No, we're not this nice. Must be the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it's a Kool-Aid.
You know, take that microphone out of there, Bobby. We're going to talk to him for a minute.
Okay.
We got our 2004 DeSoto Speedway champion, Bobby Baldwin. 2005, rather, Bobby Baldwin.
There you go.
And the Rocket Man, Wayne Jefferson, sitting at the hot seat right now. These two guys are some serious hot shoes. Jack, pay attention to the guest.
I'm paying attention, Tony. I'm paying attention. I'm multitasking.
Wayne, this past Saturday night, man, 100 lapper, you took the win, man. It was a tough one, too. It wasn't an easy win.
No, it sure wasn't. Everybody, I think, had some troubles or was off or wasn't in the situation they wanted to be in. But fortunately, it worked out for us. We were able to hang in there. And last time we were there, we had some bad luck and got put off the track, so we had to come from the back. But this week here, it worked out for us in our favor.
Bobby, he's a hell of a lot more excited when he gets out of a race car.
I know.
He?
Yeah, he's always been.
Yeah, he sure is, man.
Animated.
Especially if something happened.
That was it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He does get a little animated.
That's
that
what I used to like about when I told you guys off the air that he used to have a mortuary as one of his sponsors, and I used to call him the Undertaker, and it was cool because he'd always go under people a lot of times, and that was kind of cool, the part of it. But you've always been one of the guys that would be somewhat vocal at times to let people know how you felt about not only the racing but how even a track was run or anything else. So, I mean, you've always had your opinion of things and been willing to voice it at times.
That's probably why I'm still sitting here racing modifieds every week too, though. So, you know, unfortunately, that's not what, you know, what needs to be said isn't always what should be said. So it's just, you know, it's just the way it is in life. It's politics everywhere in life, and no matter what it is. And the world's all about business, and that's just part of it.
But it's got to feel good when you pull through the gate and people look at you and go, that's the guy to beat.
Well, it feels good, but I don't always accept that I don't come through there strutting through there like that's the way it is either, though. I know that if I, you know, am playing around or taking it for granted or, you know, thinking I got somebody beat, that's when you're going to get beat. So it's all about, you know, concentrating on, where, you know, my game and where we need to be. And
well, we got a guy on the phone that likes to beat people, too.
Let me explain this for a second here. Last week, the Hooters Pro Cup started. They had their first race in their six-race championship series. And his driver from North Carolina, Daniel Johnson, who doesn't have the kind of funds that a lot of the top teams in the Pro Cup, which can be a very expensive proposition these days, he doesn't have that kind of money and he doesn't have that kind of backing and team behind him. Well, he went out to Rusty Wallace's Palace, the very first race they ever had there, and he dominated the race throughout. And the story of this is, we'll let him tell it, but it's pretty awesome.
Daniel Johnson, welcome to Real Racing USA. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on the show.
We appreciate you giving us a few minutes there while we were talking to Wayne, and we'll get back to Wayne some more, I'm sure, when we're done with Daniel. But what was it like to go out there and look at a track that is so brand new, nobody had any kind of book on it?
Wow, it was awesome. As soon as I got there, you know, just fell in love with the place. A great facility, great fans. Can't say enough about the track. Rusty Wallace and those guys put that track together from cornfields to what it is now in 14 months. And it was pretty amazing.
Now, from what I understand, you weren't even sure that you were really going to be able to make this race. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We didn't have a sponsor for the race, and it almost threw in the white towel for the year, and luckily saw a check cashers and came through and gave us enough funds to get us there, and it turned out great for us. You know, we had a great run, best career finish, and we're really pumped about it, real excited.
So at what point, I don't know how many laps you led total, but you led a lot of the race, and after the pit, on the pit sequences, you always kept coming back to the front and passing guys like Bobby Gill and Clay Rogers and those kind of veteran champions of the Pro Cup. Now, at what point did you know that you had something going here?
We had a safety caution like 10 laps in the race, and come in, and everybody was able to look at their tires. Tire wear looked good. We had another safety caution on lap 30. We was able to check our tire temperatures, and the tire temperatures were really awesome. From what I heard, you know, throughout the day during practice, a lot of guys were having problems with, you know, building a lot of temperature and blowing tires, and about 10 laps after the 30 lap safety caution, I really felt like, you know, tires is not going to be an issue for us. We decided to run old tires from previous tracks, and but the tire temperatures, I just really felt like, you know, we could push the envelope and run that thing hard.
So to clarify that, you were using used tires.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said you were using some used tires.
Yeah, the whole race we ran tires from Lakeland and the Pete State race.
this is a 7/8 mile track.
Yeah, this is okay. Like the guy that pulls in on the open trailer, has tires from 3 years ago, and whips your butt.
So, go ahead.
The set of tires that we put on, excluding the qualifying set, you know, they were like an 8 lap scuff. The second set of tires we put on had 75 laps on them when we put the tires on from Lakeland, and they were just lightning fast. I mean, it was unreal how fast the car was. It was just too much fun.
I'm glad you had that much fun.
So then you got back up after one. You had to go back to the back, or, you know, back of the lead lap after pitting, and you started working your way back up through the file of cars. And when you got back up to the front, and you were getting right back up there, what, your battery go dead or something? Is that what happened?
Actually, we blew a right rear tire.
Oh, okay.
I think they had posted that, you know, that a battery had died. But we did finally blew a right rear tire. And
Did this go down slowly? You kind of felt it coming on, and
no, it was all of a sudden. You know, it just blew out, and I pulled up to the top of the racetrack, brought out of caution, and Jimmy Wilson said he was going to be kind of lenient on us. You know, if that happened, you know, normally they'll black flag you. You know, if you blow a tire, pull up, you know, try to get a caution flag, they'll black flag you or whatever. But, you know, since the tire issues that we were having, it was a little more lenient, so I was able to pull up and get a caution and come back in. The crew put on our last set of tires that we ran to the end of the race, and it ran great.
So that was about, I don't know, that was somewhere around lap 200, 210, something in there?
Yeah, I think it was like 199.
Yeah, it was right around, yeah, that's right, it was 199, that's right. And so now you get back up and you're running and getting back up into 10th and 8th and... All of a sudden, you're coming into the last 10 laps of the race. Did you think you had a shot, like with 10 to go, with Marty Lindley out front? Or actually, it was Shane Wallace out front then, right?
Yeah, Shane Wallace was leading the race and had a pretty good stretch on us, had a pretty good lead. And I really felt like, you know, we was running third and probably wasn't going to catch him. You know, with just a handful of laps to go, we was coming hard, but I didn't think we was going to catch him. You know, I thought we were just going to run out of time, and then I'm watching him, and we're getting closer and closer and closer, and I know we're running out of time, and all of a sudden he blows the right front tire, and I'm like, you know, I really hated it for him, but I was like,
thank
man,
you.
This is a chance we needed right here, you know.
Now you tell us the rest of the story.
Yeah, you call it from inside the cockpit, so to speak.
Yeah.
What was it like, and tell us what happened the last few laps.
Well, after Shane blew a tire, you know, it brought it down to a green-white checkered, and so we take the green and, you know, stay behind Marty all the way through 1 and 2, down the back stretch. We go into 3, and he slowed up. I talked to him, you know, after the race, and he said he had a tire coming apart, so it slowed way up, and thought I had it in my mind, protect the bottom, you know, take him on the inside, and he'd slowed way up, and I kind of got into him, pulled him a little bit, and dove underneath him coming off a four. And so we're, you know, taking a lead to the strike, and I'm thinking, yes, you know, we got this race. Well, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, Woody Howard comes to the inside, makes it three wide, he pulls up underneath me, and I'm like, man, where did he come from? So we're, you know, side by side going through one and two. We're on the outside. We take it all the way down the back stretch, door to door, you know, beating off of one another. We go through three and four, still just beating and banging, and all the way through the stripe. And, I mean, it was just, I really thought we was going to get it, but we fell just, you know, about 5 feet short.
Wow. It was close. It was like 5 feet short. You're right.
Yeah, because the explanation I got was when you guys slowed up in that first time in turn three, I guess it was, he was still on the hammer and never slowed up and had the momentum, and that's what
And Woody Howard, to you. Woody Howard had sat back in eighth place all day long. All day long he was at eighth.
But it's got to be awesome to be to a brand new track and do that well. And in front of that stage, because not only was it a Hooters Pro Cup race, but it was a national event. I mean, the whole world was looking at this track and people there. So it must have been awesome to be involved in that.
It was. It was, you know, we had garage areas that we're not used to having, and, you know, just a great facility. They really treated us like, you know, we were on the top level of racing, you know, and during driver introduction, we had Corvettes and done parades around the track, and, you know, got to wave at the fans, and just really made us feel like, you know, very special. And it was very special for me just to be a part of it. We had went, you know, with the, got to give a special thanks too to JJ Pack and his crew. We had a short crew going up there, didn't have enough people to have a full pit crew, and unfortunately for those guys, they didn't make it in the show and stepped in and helped us out.
That's awesome.
So the bottom line is Daniel, you used tires, and you took a crew from drivers who didn't make the race.
It's a ragtag crew.
That was a ragtag team, man.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome! And congratulations, and we hope you keep it up now because you got five more races. Yeah.
Dinnerstown's next, right?
Yeah, Dinnerstown's next. You know, we still have Charles Chuck Cashers. I think gonna stay on board with us. Atlantic Coast Resorts. We're still looking for sponsorship to get to the next five races. Still struggling, but you know, the good finish definitely helped out. So you know, if anybody wants to be a part of it, we're real pumped, and you know, fifth place in points, and I really feel good about Jennerstown. We've ran real good there in the past, and hopefully we can keep it up, keep the car up front, and do well.
Well, we'll keep putting the word out from down here, and we appreciate you taking time to talk to us here at Real Racing USA and Short Track America.
Thanks a lot, Daniel. And tomorrow tomorrow on Speed Channel, the Pro Cup race will be aired.
Yeah, that's Wednesday. Race. Wednesday they run it.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
All right, man.
What an awesome story, man.
That's cool. Thanks a lot, man.
Way cool. Really cool. Way
thanks
cool.
For having really me on the cool. show. I really appreciate it.
All right, good night. Oh, man, that has got to be awesome, though, to pull in there, be just kind of like haphazardly getting there, number one, then to just keep things falling into place, and it's your lucky day. And
on old tires and a ragtag crew.
Man, I see we gave these guys here a feel-good story, so now let's see if they have a different attitude now.
Dale, ask Ricky Bobby. Ask Ricky Bobby how long, when he won the championship last year, went down to the last race last year. He fought his way for that championship last year. You pick up the microphone now. Don't be afraid of
him. Yeah, turn him on.
Turn it on.
And you should, Jefferson, tell him about the sweet fire suit this dude has. Put Wonder Bread on it.
Yeah,
Ricky Bobby.
That's all it's missing. God. I just said that right here. It's missing Wonder Bread right here.
He has Bobby, that championship went right down to the wire last year.
Do you have clips of yourself in there and you're watching all the time?
Yes, I do.
Yes, he does.
As a matter of fact.
He shows them to me.
Save the cell phone stuff for later, Bill. But tell us what it was like to finally nail that championship down last year.
Well, actually, I had no clue. For about 2 or 3 hours after the race was over, we finally found out that we won, and it didn't
Tim
really.
Moore thought he won.
Yeah, well, he did a nice burnout, but you know, we didn't really know, and that was the sad part. I didn't get to really celebrate as much as I wanted to, but hey, you know what? We won it, so that's cool.
Well, when at the banquet every year, I pick a song for the champion, and his song was "How Do You Like Me Now."
I got a seat in it. Tucks, man.
Yeah, tell him, Bobby, I look good in a tux.
Yeah, he does. He looks.
And I'm
sharp.
Just as nutty.
And I would imagine, Wayne, you've won a few though. That things happened in tech to somebody in front of you, and you wound up in the winner's circle. I would think.
Yeah, that's how
that didn't happen. It wasn't tech that won him.
Oh,
it was a wall. Bobby, I'm talking about.
I know you. Both you guys doing such a good
Ricky
job.
Bobby.
It's a going back to what we were talking about just before we got into this deal with all this other stuff. What's it like though to actually keep winning them? I mean, you got to have maybe 100 wins by now, I would think, between Sunshine and here, buddy, in your career, maybe more.
To be up on top,
you know, and keep being on top every year. You're the man that comes out. You ain't had a bad year yet. You've had some slow starts.
The beginning of this year was a little rough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's some slow starts,
year, but yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know. I guess I do win, you know, more than often, most often, I guess. But I don't look at it that way. It's just, you know, the nights that I don't win, it's miserable for another till I win again, basically. You know what I mean? You're working, you're wondering, you analyze every race, every lap, every move. Should I have done this? Why didn't I do that? Or, you know, I had it there, I didn't take it, or, you know, somebody got me or ran into me, I got a flat, whatever. It's always, you're always looking, the good is the good, you're always looking at the bad to try to make better.
You know, Wayne, I mean, your season in the modified started out tough this year, but in the super, it was a great one, man. You took the Leroy Porter 125, the first one. That had to feel real good.
Yeah, it sure did. I mean, we'd been struggling with that deal as it was from the previous year. So it felt good to get started out there on the right foot and know that we can do it. But we haven't been back in the winner's circle since, so we're working hard with that deal. It's a tough class. There's a lot of competition out there. I mean, it's the best of the best, obviously. And it's hard because same deal where, you know, I win a lot in the modified, but when I go out in the late model, it humbles me. So it's tough.
Real Racing USA, you're live on the air.
Hey, this is Steve calling you back from Race Car Engineering.
Hey, Steve. We lost you there, buddy. Sorry about that.
Yeah, my Nextel phone dropped the call. Sorry about that.
Oh, Nextel. That's a good advertisement. So much for that call.
Be paying you for that, dude.
Hey, no problem, Steve. We'll make it up to you, man. We'll get you back on here a couple more times, and we'll keep doing that. You've heard your spot.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to set him up right now. Yeah. The next time we get Steve on, we're going to spend about like some time.
Yeah, get him
live. We want to hear his opinions on racing promotion because Steve, his dad owned a racetrack. He promoted a racetrack. Steve been in this his whole life.
Steve, we want to get you in the house.
Yeah,
we're
going to get you in the house, man. Can you do that for us? You want to do it next week?
We'll get him down here one of these.
Yeah, days. How about right now, Steve?
Bring it on down.
Jefferson talking to you.
Right now, but I'd be happy to do it sometime.
All right, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep, not a problem. And I apologize to all you guys for dropping the call.
Hey, that's not your fault. That's Nextel.
Send a letter to Nextel.
That's right. Send it to the Cup.
Bobby, you moved into the lead in the points again this past weekend. What's your plan? Just going to stay in the modified? I know you got a lot of business things going on the outside of racing right now.
Well, I mean, right now we're going to do this modified deal for the rest of the year here, and beyond that, I'm really not sure. I got my son, you know, that I want to get involved in racing and everything. He's ran the go-karts and stuff, and we want to get him involved a little bit more, and I might have to take a back seat a little bit, you know what I mean? So probably next year we're going to back off a little bit, maybe just do some bigger races.
I know a couple of people might want to trade a modified for a Magic 4 car.
Well, hey, you know what?
Three Magic 4
might be
cars.
Up for sale.
Yeah,
you know,
I
don't
pay for it, Jeff.
But I doubt it. We won a championship in that car, and we have a chance to win another one this year in it. I probably never get rid of that car, man. You know what I mean? It'll be if I have to hang it on the wall. You know what I mean?
There
that's
you go.
What it's going to be. But.
Wayne, you got a super late model race this weekend. I mean, what's the preparations like?
I don't prepare.
You don't prepare?
You don't prepare?
He does talk a lot better than Winter Circle.
I don't prepare for radio talk either, so, you know. No, Adam, I have a crew chief, Adam. That whole deal is down in Naples, and I really don't have much to do with it. I show up at the track with my helmet, and, you know, we have a few discussions on his phone during the week about, you know, I mean, you know, I'm knowledgeable about what's going on, but, you know, we have discussions based on what he, you know, thinks we should do or I want to do or based on the last race, what we ran and how we went. And we have, you know, a couple talks, and then he makes the call, basically, and he gets it to the track.
Bud Light presents Real American Hero.
Wayne Jefferson.
All right, guys, we're coming down to the bottom of the hour, man. We want to thank Bobby Baldwin, 2005 track champion at DeSoto Speedway. Wayne, the Rocket Man Jefferson, open wheel A, super
late. Or the Undertaker,
model.
Depending on when you
Oh, whatever. If you're going back in time, Bill.
I'm always back in time, brother.
Well, thank you guys for being on, man. We look forward to talking to you again. I look forward to talking to both of you in the Winner's Circle.
Thanks, man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Wow. Bill, why don't you take us down to the bottom of the hour, brother? Play the music.
No, is it that time of night already?
Yeah, one of those.
Hey, we must be doing good. The crowd's going wild.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllister Sports Management. Or call 352-804-0078.
This is Bobby Deal with Fast Media Group. You are listening to Short Track America, where I go for all my racing news.
You're listening to Short Track America.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA, live at the Snook River Grill. We have kicked it for an hour and a half, and we got another half hour to beat it up. So if you're in the neighborhood, you want to come on down, you better hurry. That's all I can tell you. Next week, we're going to have a little fun bringing some folks in from around the state and around the country, as we've done tonight. But right now, we're going to sit down and talk to one of the local, I don't know, what do you call him? Not a local legend yet, but he's working on it as he's into a little bit of everything. He owns a track. He owns several traveling series, and he's the one.
Bill's trying to take over the show. He lost
it. He owns a travel agency.
He's one of the most well liked guys, I think, in racing and promotions and so forth. And he manages to do that without making too many people mad. And that's Todd Hutto and Debbie Hutto. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. How you doing?
Right. You know, Jack, I can remember. I believe it was Salute to Racing. We did the live thing down there at Salute to Racing.
Yes.
And this guy come up to us and he said, can you guys interview us? I got this new series I'm going to try.
Oh, yeah.
The Florida Mini Stop Challenge Series.
And look at it now.
It's blown up.
When I mentioned that series to some of the well-liked promoters at the time, the first thing they said to me, oh, no, they're going to take cars from every track. Our car counts will go down. We're all going to die. If it actually works. Literally, that's what they said.
Where did the original idea for that come from, Todd? I mean, starting out with the mini stocks.
Actually, we were working at Auburndale Speedway whenever it changed hands. And wanted to do something a little bit different. Wanted to give guys that maybe didn't have the big pockets and the big budgets a chance to run different tracks and possibly run New Smyrna, Orlando, and Lakeland. And when we first sat down and talked to Don Nerone and Billy Martino about it, they kind of looked at me kind of funny, I guess, but still do sometime, from time to time. But
they look at everybody funny, don't they?
But that's kind of how the deal started. We originally actually wanted to do a modified deal, and I talked with Rick Day when he was doing the Sarah stuff, and I had some ideas, but he didn't like them a whole lot, so we decided to go a different direction. Five years later, I think it's worked out. My main thing, what I want to accomplish in racing is to have one rule book for the state of Florida for every racetrack. That yep, way, a guy can load his race car up and go racing. If it rains out at, you know, at Charlotte County, they go to DeSoto and race if they can race. And that would make it easier on the fans and the racers and everybody included.
The Florida Mini Stock Challenge Series worked out good for you, and then you started the Southern Sportsman Series.
Yeah, the Southern Sportsman Series is one of them ideas that Steve Black and Mike Desarn, our partners in the deal, had. And I was actually wanting to wait another year or two to do something, to kind of sit down with all the tracks and throw my ideas in. But we went ahead and kicked the deal off a couple of years ago and had phenomenal car counts in that deal, and it's worked out real good.
And then came East Bay.
Actually, East Bay's was before the Sportsman deal, but right. East Bay is one of them deals where me and Al, we've been friends since we was 14 or 15 years old. We've always wanted to be in business together. And he called me one day and said, East Bay's for sale, you want to buy it?
And the reason you didn't leave Publix for the porta potty business?
Yeah, I had a pretty good career at Publix, and he had a pretty good business going, and I actually hung up on him that day, and he called me back about 5 minutes later, and we talked some more, and 2 weeks later, the deal was done, so...
What has that adventure been like? I mean, East Bay, you know, it couldn't have been any easy shoes to step in yet. You coming in after Stan Kolen, he built up those the Winter Nationals. You know, that's a huge undertaking in itself.
Actually, to me, everything's easy. I love what I do. Racing's a sport, it's a hobby, and it's fun to me. That's all it means. It's a business that I enjoy and I love, and I wake up every day enjoying what I love to do.
He's
that's
just too relaxed.
He's too late. We need to introduce his wife, Debbie. She makes a lot of this happen. I bet she's got a whole different view of this, I bet, because I know she went through it with him. Pick up the microphone, turn it on. And, I mean, she's there every step of the way. Now, you do a lot of the traveling with some of the series when he can't go and so forth. What's it like being in this team and partnership to where you've taken on this huge undertaking, whether it be East Bay or traveling series, another traveling series? Oh, we're going to add a third one. Oh, are you crazy? You know, that kind of stuff.
It keeps us busy, that's for sure. And I love it just as much as he does. And I grew up in racing. I've been in racing all my life. And I've been, as far as the scoring part of it, I've done that all my life also. I've done that for like 32 years. And when we thought about the idea of the traveling series, we wanted to do something different, and we made it work. And then we, of course, added the Sportsman, and we're in our third year with that, and then now we're with the Gulf Coast Modified Series.
Wow. And whenever he started talking to you about, well, Al would like to think about buying East Bay, what did you think of that idea in general?
I was all for it because this is what he loves to do, and I knew that if we wanted to do this, that we could make it work.
And I know you guys have put in countless hours of commuting, number one, to get to places to make it happen. You've done a lot of things, you know, that you had to bend over backwards, sell a house, move here, do things to make it really happen. And the commitment you've made to the drivers and the fans at East Bay has been very, very awesome, and I've always loved it, and I love being there. But do you think, you know, is there a big picture, like 10 years down the road, okay, enough's enough, or are you just going to do it right down to whenever you just get tired of it, or what?
10 years down the road, I'd like to have possibly 4 to 5 dirt tracks throughout the southeastern United States with a sprint car traveling series and a dirt late model traveling series.
Awesome
We actually have...
Think big or your mind shrinks.
Brain.
Okay.
Brain.
See, they're Bill messed up already.
So. I don't have a brain. I have a mind.
But, no, our new track that Al's involved with up in Crossville, Tennessee, is actually tied in with 3 other racetracks. So, actually, we have 4 tracks tied together with Clarksville, Tennessee, and a couple other places. And our ideas are to hopefully, you know, have a 360 deal or a 410 deal that you could travel across the southeastern part of the United States and either in a dirt late model deal that they could do some things with. And that's some of our ideas we'd like to carry on.
Now, Crossville, I talked to Al just right after he stepped into those shoes and you guys joined into that party. That one didn't take long either. I mean, from the time you guys went and looked at it and thought about it and, okay, maybe we can give them, you know, let's kind of go sit down with them and talk about it. I mean, it had to be like 30 days, I bet, or something like that. It had happened.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that quick. Actually, it was during our anniversary, so we took a weekend and went up there and looked at it and then went to the mountains, so it took 3 extra days there. But...
And where was Al Saturday night at the Showdown 100 at East Bay Raceway?
Yes.
Yeah, he was at East Bay Raceway.
Oh, yeah, he's a traveling man now. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah.
We've hit a bunch of racetracks in the last couple of months. Me and Debbie was at Crossville on Friday night a couple weeks ago, and at Clarksville on Saturday night, and back home Monday morning. So it's a traveling frenzy sometimes.
Spreading the clay.
Let me tell you something. There are so many race fans in this state that have never been to a dirt track.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they've never been. They go to asphalt tracks, and every weekend they never have been to a dirt track. I'm telling you, Saturday night at East Bay Raceway was one of the best races I've ever seen there. He called me up.
He was crying, I think.
He was screaming. It was awesome.
It was carrying on.
It was very exciting, especially from my seat. I'm kind of the one up there with the headset and, you know, pulling the punches sometimes.
It happened fast.
It was a good race. It was a good race. Davis Miles did 92 laps and got caught in a little bit of traffic here and there. And Jeff Matthews, I mean, it was probably one of the cleanest races I've seen also.
Yeah.
Jeff put the pass on him on the outside.
Smiles going to see a blue number 5 for at least a year.
Actually, I've talked to his car owner today for about 2 hours, so they probably will.
That's the other end of racing. Okay. You say you love racing so much, and it's obvious because, you know, how calm he is. I mean, you see him at the racetrack, you know, he's always smiling. I've never seen this guy upset.
No.
But you have to get it from all different angles. Not only do you own a racetrack, you run 3 series. How many phones you got? I got one of them Nextels that drop off like Steve Dorr?
That's the plan, actually. That's why I got a Nextel.
But seriously, I mean, how do you deal with so many 3 series, a racetrack, branching out to another racetrack without? How do you deal with that?
Treat people the way you want to be treated, plain and simple. I mean, I treat everybody the same, and if I get a racer come yelling and cussing at me, I tell him to wait 10 minutes and come back and talk to me. It's real simple.
And he's always been that way.
It doesn't work for you like that, does it?
He was that way when he stood in the...
It don't work that way for me. It's not been working for me that way.
I was that way when he stood in the corner at Auburndale, though, when we called races together. I mean, people, they'd come out to the races, and we had to line up and wait in the room for them to come in and yell at us about what they thought was wrong. And we just sit there and listen to them, and I learned then from him and from Don Nerone and Billy Martino, you just let them rant and rave and they get it over with. And that's a lot of what he does. He just lets them go, burn it out, and then go back and talk to them later and really make some sense of it.
Is this your, like, 3rd or 4th Winter Nationals coming up?
This will be our 4th Winter
Nationals. 4th Winter Nationals. Okay. So you got, now you got the national guys coming in from all over the country. What's the difference between the local and the national? Do you see anything? I mean, or do you still work the same way?
More motorhomes.
Definitely more motorhomes. No, the track preparation stuff is the same. I'd say the only difference in the racers are they don't necessarily communicate with me as much as they would take care of it amongst ourselves because they race with these guys week in and week out all over the country. We started our promoting already. I went to Knoxville, Iowa, and went to the Nationals, and went to the new Lucas Oil Speedway and different places promoting the late model stuff, and did a lot of traveling with Spencer. On my weekends off, whenever that is, promote the late model stuff. And talking to these guys one-on-one, you know, that's a big part of it. Go all over the country to these racetracks and speak one-on-one. And it speaks volumes for you when they get to your place and come race with you. They know who you are. They respect who you are and different things.
Well, one of the biggest things with the Winter Nationals is the word of mouth. You know, I mean, for years, you know, going back to Jimmy Mingo, and I mean, Jeff Gordon started out there. Word of mouth is a big thing with the Nationals, and of course, the way you treat people. For a couple years there, we were in the inner workings of getting ready for the Nationals. God, you get ready for it like you said. Now you're already preparing for it.
The preparation is insane.
Insanity. I mean, it's total insanity. The phone starts ringing off the hook. You know. End of August, early September, people are wanting their tickets. They're wanting to reserve their motorhome slots.
They couldn't wait.
It's crazy. I mean, but you got to have the passion for this because we did. We had a good time doing it.
As a matter of fact, we might talk to him about coming up there and doing some of that stuff we used to do.
Right, we did it. We went live.
We broadcast live, not the races themselves, but we broadcast live twice from East Bay during the Winter Nationals out back in
the Real Racing USA to East Bay during the Winter Nationals. Yeah. What do you think, man?
Works for me.
As a matter of fact,
I helped him out one year.
This just is like I think
Jack needs a golf cart.
Well, you see, there's that's right. That's right, because we had a golf cart. Yeah, a guy with a golf
first
cart.
Time your first
we
golf cart.
We paid him beer, and he'd go out and get us the drivers and bring them back.
Your first golf
there's
cart.
There's a reason why I'm wearing this Ocala hat tonight.
Oh yeah, the Ocala.
Yeah.
The Ocala. Don't forget, you know, we got the Ocala. 12 hours of Ocala coming up. Now, this is going to be lunacy.
I don't know. Todd probably doesn't even know that this is what we're doing.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Never has one man written so much for so many. Without you, the world may never have known you can't hug with nuclear arms.
I need a hug now.
And just like you, I too would rather be fishing, or square dancing, or even shopping.
Oh, yeah.
I owe, so off to work I go. You said it, brother.
You speak the truth.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh bar to the bumper. Thanks to you, I know it's perfectly all right to honk if I'm horny.
Honk, honk, beep, beep, honk.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I don't think anybody does.
Well,
I know.
This all started at like 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to sleep, and I couldn't sleep.
You can't sleep on 12 quarts of coffee.
Yeah, that's right. And this idea just popped in my head. I couldn't sleep. I got up this morning. I called up a couple of people, and we set this thing up. We're going to broadcast the 12 hours of Ocala, the whole 12 hours. We're going to broadcast live from Ocala Speedway.
No, I gotta.
Of course, he doesn't call the other host and ask them.
No. Okay, I said they'll go along with it.
We'll do that, and we'll include Bertie.
I'll take
in
the
it.
First 4 hours. You got the next 4 hours.
But it's one of those things, like, because they've never done that. You know, it's like a $5,000 to win, 12-hour race. The cars all have transponders or whatever, and they start at midnight on Friday, the 20th of October.
How many laps
they
can
race
you make
till noon?
Oh, that's easy. All you got to do is get the drivers turn the radio on. They can listen to you. You keep them awake. They keep racing.
Yeah, that's what we do. And it's a weekend that's really cool because John Saprocone, who's in the back of the room back here, he has the first night of the Triple Crown, the Florida Triple Crown for super late models, is on that night, Friday night. And
to announce that, and then he says, "Oh, you're going to ride with Marone up at Ocala."
Some live stuff with that whole deal, and the next day is up at Bronson, and then back to Ocala on Sunday for the Triple Crown. So we're going to tie all this thing together and do. So Bill will be.
Should be interesting. I'm sure I won't be asleep by Sunday afternoon. But,
yeah, so we will have no sleep, but we're gonna broadcast live, be on air the whole 12 hours.
It's the 72 hours of real racing.
You might
want
to wait and see how that goes before you bring us to East Bay. Just see what happens. I want to go back real quick to Crossville and your summertime stretch here at East Bay. You guys are one of the few tracks that takes off a few weeks, gives the racers a break, and kind of lets Mother Nature hopefully move on through here. Is that very beneficial now that you've got that extra track and you need to go back and forth and do some things, so to speak?
Yeah, I get to sleep a little bit now. No, it is. It's a summertime is hard in Florida, as many of you know, and you know, John can drive his racetrack in 15, 20 minutes sometime and go racing, and it takes me 20 minutes to get to grader on the racetrack. So July we try to race once or twice, and August we race once, and come back 1st of September, the racers have actually recouped. They're ready to go. They got the racers, you know, back ready, and makes everything a little bit better, I believe, all the way around.
I tell you, Saturday night, I was in the infield for the Showdown 100, and a thought occurred to me at one point that if it started raining real hard,
they're going to have to chop you out.
I might not get out of here.
They're still looking for Craig Clark's shoe.
I'm telling you.
Did you lose your shoes Saturday night?
No, I was very careful. I mean, it was tough. You had to walk without stopping, because if you stopped, you sunk
in. Yeah. No, that happens a lot. This is kind of cool, though, because I know that there's some other people involved, StormPay.com and their tracks. What other tracks are there? Name them so we don't forget.
Well, StormPay.com is actually, they own the crate racing deal that we have in December, which is December 14th, 15th, and 16th, the $10,000 to win. But they also are partners at Crossville, and then they also have, they're also on part of Clarksville Speedway and Danville, Kentucky, another speedway.
Danville, Kentucky. I knew there was another one in there. I could never remember. How is Al finding that the local tracks up there within the 40, 50, 60 miles are working together a little better? Because I know he was talking about going to Atomic and talking to them the night that I talked to him, and
so forth.
I mean,
did a street stock race 2 weeks ago. Within seven different tracks, seven different rules, we had 33 cars weighing from 2,000 pounds to 3,200 pounds, from 8-inch tires to late model tires. So their rules are kind of like Florida rules used to be, I guess. But you talk about 30 or 40 different miles away, there's 20 different racetracks in 30 miles.
Much.
So it's a little bit different than it is, you know, down here. So a lot more competition as far as racetracks and people racing. But I believe it's the season is a little bit shorter. But I believe we can all work together up there also.
Well, I was going to ask you that, too. With those weeks you take off in the middle of the summer, do you tend to add a few at the end to get you into November, maybe close to December, to make up the difference? Or?
Well, we race till December 16th this year.
Yeah, I knew it was
going
pretty
my off season's from December 17th to January 2nd. So
it's short.
We go back right to it with the Winter National starting the 25th.
Fall Brawl this year?
Fall Brawl is November 3rd and 4th. Okay. That's a big sprint car show we'll be running. Be ready for that deal. We actually run sprint cars twice in October and then come back the first weekend of November with a two-day show.
I'm impressed, man, because with all the preparation that goes into a Winter Nationals, to be getting at the same time prepared to kick off a Mini Stock Challenge Series season, a Open Wheel Modified season,
Gulf Coast Modifieds, and the Southern Sportsman,
and a Sportsman, the Southern Sportsman season, all at the same time. There are a few people though that have stepped up and really helped you out.
Oh yeah, first of all, Debbie's done a lot of the work. She takes care of all the newsletters and stuff and sends everything out.
I see Debbie more than I do you nowadays.
I'm busy. I got other things to
do
sometime. But people keep telling me that I'm going to get tired of this or get wore out or get
not
too busy. But I haven't got too busy. I just can't be all the places we race on the same night. We need to spread them out so I can be everywhere. But no, Mike Desarn has stepped up. He's our partner with all three series. And he helps us out a whole bunch, and then Steve Black, which is Sparta Speed Pros, which is Mike and Steve's business.
Is that the same Steve Black that used to run Figure Eights?
No.
No, he had the Midwest Racing or something for
Midwest
a while.
Racing Chassis.
Yes,
okay.
In Mulberry.
And he was in Mulberry, and they teamed up. And Steve's helped out tremendously on our Sportsman Series, and Jerry Wilt's the tech man for our Mini Stop Series, and of course Smitty's the tech man for the Modified deal. And I tell you, I can't ask for a better crew from East Bay to the series. Everybody that works with us, it's been awesome.
Really professional. I mean, every time you come down to DeSoto, it's, you know, snap to it. Let's get her done.
Grab Jack when he comes out.
Grab Jack for one.
No, Wayne's trying to give me a high sign over there. I'm trying to make sure we get everything done.
Todd, when can we look forward to the Sprint Car Dirt Late Model Series starting up?
It'd probably be 2 to 3 years away at this point. Right now, my focus and my goal is to take care of the things I have started down here with the Florida racers, and I'm passionate about the three series that I have. It's something that I've always wanted to do and never could do as a racer, and I always want to help the small guy out and help him go to places. And my next goal actually is to get the Gulf Coast Modifieds to Lakeland. And I believe I can make that happen.
Well, you got the mini stocks there. those mini stocks running at Lakeland that's an unbelievable sight. Robbie Storer, I believe, was the one that grenaded that motor. I have never seen an engine block flipping down the track before, but I saw one there with those guys. A lot of competition. Todd, Debbie, man, we wish you all the best of luck. We're looking forward to Winter Nationals, Real Racing USA, live from the Winter Nationals this year, Jack.
That'd be fun.
All right,
go.
We ready to do it? All right, brother. Thanks,
Todd.
A lot,
thanks, Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Todd, Debbie, hope
real quick, we got one more guest in the house I want to bring up. Randy Johnson,
all right.
Come on up here, dog.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Never has one man written so much for so many. Without you, the world may never have known you can't hug with nuclear arms.
I need a hug now.
And just like you, I too would rather be fishing, or square dancing, or even shopping.
Oh yeah!
I owe, so off to work I go. You said it, brother.
Speak the truth.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh bar to the bumper. Thanks to you, I know it's perfectly all right to honk
if I'm horny.
Honk, honk, beep, beep, honk.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
We call him the Silver Bullet.
Oh, the Silver Bullet.
Sorry, if you call him Dog, he could be in trouble all the time.
Why is that?
Randy, why do they call you the Silver Bullet?
I haven't really sure where that come from, but we come from the
back of
the
pack. Because when he starts in the back of the pack, he's like getting shot out of a .45 caliber pistol.
Rick, this young man was explaining this.
Excuse me.
He just stepped all over.
Sorry.
See, you got one excited fan, you know.
Yeah, I get used to that.
Go ahead, continue. Go ahead, you guys are in charge now. I'm shutting my mic off. The hell with you.
No, it's just we come from the back to the front quite a bit. That sort of stuck with us some, and that was about it on that. Just a couple people called it to me, so we had some stickers made up.
Randy, is this your first year racing?
Yeah, it's my rookie year, so to speak.
You're doing some tight racing out there. I mean, how many wins you got this year?
Six wins, one win with a DQ, you know, so there's things.
Okay, what were you DQ'd for? Come on.
Shocks.
Did you know they were bad or you didn't?
Bill, they never know they're bad.
Oh, come on. Talk to me.
It's a gray
area. Go ahead,
area.
Bill.
It's a gray area.
You thought they were okay, but okay.
DeSoto's tech man just left. I don't know where he went.
Well, that's okay. At least you tried.
Yeah.
Tried.
You got to do what you can do. You know, there's a lot of tough guys out there, and there's people in the bomber class who have been racing for a long time. I went out there thinking it's a beginner class, and there's veterans in this class, you know. They've been running it a long time. There's people that's dropped down from street stock to run this class and stuff, and it's really tough to run out there.
Do you find it's more of a class where they're just having some fun? I mean, the guys are in this one to have fun. It's not really a moneymaker. Ain't nobody getting paid anyway.
No, no one's getting rich on this class at all, you know. Everybody's out there for fun, and some people are out there, you know, in the budget class, and they're pretty serious about it.
News alert.
What?
Nobody's getting rich in the bomber class. I wonder if anybody's getting rich over there in that open wheel modified class.
Oh, in the open wheel class? Yeah. Todd, are you getting rich in the open wheel class?
Wayne's probably made a few bucks, but not many more.
Wayne makes a couple bucks here and there.
Yes,
Ricky Bobby's got movie stuff he's doing. Yeah. So.
Pretty
bad. I mean, the bomber class, like you said, there's a lot of tough guys out there, but you're running right there with them.
Yeah, we do everything we can. We're the only one who runs an Oldsmobile motor. You know, we're sort of proud of that. Everybody runs a Chevys or a Ford, and we've drag raced for a long time, and we've run nothing but Chevy, and we said, we got to try something different, you know, see what happens, and had a blast with it.
No doubt, man. They're all having a blast out there in the bomber class.
Oldsmobile.
This ain't your daddy's Oldsmobile.
No, I think it's pretty cool though if you're a rookie and you just come into a class like that. It's got to be pretty awesome to have that kind of success in it. Was there somebody along the way to kind of tutored you and helped you along?
My nephew was running it, little Timmy Troyer in mini stocks. We come out and I was watching and helping, and Tim said to me once, "Let's do this enduro race." So we got this old car out of the field, basically grandma car, and did good enduro, and we were like, screw it, we're going to try this bomber stuff and see what happens.
Cool deal, man.
Screw it.
Let's go
for
it.
Well, you know, like, remember at Charlotte County Speedway a few years back, they had the, like, a whole mess.
Hold up. You know what?
What?
That reminds me of something.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. You know, when he went out there and he said he ran the enduro, and he said, screw it, let's do it.
Yeah.
Reminds me of when you and I were on Short Track USA.
That's right.
We crossed the Gandy Bridge, and you said,
What do you think?
Jack,
Bill Green can do this?
Screw it, we can do it.
If that fat bastard can do it, I know we can.
Randy, Ed, thanks for being on the show, brother.
Thank you.
Seeing you. Looking forward to seeing you Saturday, Mike. Any sponsors you want to thank?
Yeah, TNA Automotive, Easton Racing, Rich down at Circle Track Stuff. Anything you need, he can help you out there. Just all the fans coming out, everybody. John's got a terrific track out there. You know, supplies the bombers with a good track.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
TNA Automotive. I like
one
that
more time. Randy Johnson, man.
2 hours of Short Track.
We did it.
Wait, this is Short Track America.
That wasn't 2 hours.
Real racing.
Was that 2 hours?
It was 2 hours. USA.
Man.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill. Down. Just take it to the limit, man.
All right, man. Thank you.
We
got to
thank Daniel Miller, John Kidwell, Brad Bischoff, Tyler Lau, Dwayne Bryan, the Rocket Man Wayne Jefferson, Steve Dorr, David Johnson. What?
Oh, okay. Don't stop.
Bobby Baldwin, Todd and Debbie Hummo, Randy Johnson, of course, Budweiser, Keels and Wheels, Fast Time Productions in the house, man. Got to thank them guys. Race Car Engineering, Steve Dorr.
Mr. James Carter.
Mr. James Carter. Thanks a lot, brother. And, of course, the Snook River Grill. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming out tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I've trained him well. Good night, everybody.
See you next Tuesday night right here at the Snook River Grill. Real Racing USA, only on Short Track America Internet Network.
Start the peanut butter sandwiches, honey. I'm coming home.
When the bright lights have faded to blue, I was thinking about a woman that I loved, I never knew. You know I've always been a dreamer, spent my the dreams I've seen lately, they keep on turning out and burning out and turning out the same. So put me on a highway and show me a sign and take it to the limit. One more time. Now you can spend all your time making money. You can spend all your love making time. One more time.